take your burden to the Lord and leave it there. I'm sure several of you walked in this evening with burdens on your heart. Cast your cares upon Him. I tell you, the Lord cares for you, and He'll lift them, lift you, and carry you through, and He'll help you during those difficult hours. Let's go to Mark chapter 9. Good to have visitors with us tonight. And the Lord sent visitors our way. If you're visiting here with us, thank you for being with us. We're glad you're here. And I hope you enjoy our evening worship hour. As we're just going to spend a little bit of time in the Lord tonight, get a little strength for the day and the week to come, and fill up our gas tank. We'll be in Mark chapter 9, verse 38. Mark chapter 9, verse number 38. We'll read just down to verse 41 tonight. We won't read a lot. We'll just spend a little bit of time in these here four verses. We continue through the book of Mark, verse by verse. Mark chapter 9, verse 38, the Bible says, "And John answered him, saying, Master, we saw one casting out devils in thy name." I want you to notice the pronouns here as we read. "And he followeth not us, and we forbid him, because he followed not us." Continue watching how the language is. "But Jesus said, Forbid him not, for there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name." So it goes from plural, Jesus narrows it down to single. "That can lightly speak evil of me." Now watch what Jesus does. "For he that is not against us is on our part." You get things out of order, you get a little troublesome. And this is the problem. They were not included. It's all about Jesus. They had forgot the lessons and message of John the Baptist. He must increase. We must, Lord, they're not following us. And we, but Jesus said, my and me, and then he included us. And that's how it should be. It's all about Jesus first. Verse 40, "For he that is not against us is on our part. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward." Now this here's just a few verses here. But kind of a little bit of tough teaching we're going to have to go through here. A little bit, that if you take what Jesus is saying here, it may be a little bit hard to swallow for some tonight. But I hope that I'll be able to give you scripture and give you clarity through the Word of God what is going on here. Of course, John makes a charge here in verse 38. Now, if you know John, look with me, flip back over here in Luke chapter number 9. Luke chapter number 9. Hold your place in Mark. Get a little understanding here. John was always known, the one that loved Jesus was on the bosom, laid his head on the bosom of the Lord. But in Luke chapter number 9, in verse number 51, Luke 9, verse 51. "And it came to pass, when the time was come, that he should be received up, he steadfast set his face to go to Jerusalem. He sent messengers before his face, verse 52, and they went and entered into a village of Samaritans." Am I in the right place? Yes. Okay. "To make ready for him," verse 53, "and they did not receive him because his face was as though he would go to Jerusalem. And when his disciples, James and John, saw this, they said to the Lord, Wilt thou that we command fire to come down?" This is James and John. Now he's like, command fire? You remember, he's one of the sons of what?
Thunder.
So now we're seeing a little bit about John. Now he's talking about commanded fire. So now we can see the charge over here. Lord, we saw one. He makes a charge. The Son of Thunder. So we know a little bit, you know, sometimes we just pass through these scriptures and, oh, isn't that sweet? The one that leaned upon the bosom of the Lord. Peter cut off the ear. We remember that one. James and John, they said, let's command fire. Let's burn them up, Lord. Let's scorch them. Let's put some heat to them. Here John saying, Lord, we saw one. And we commanded him. We forbade him. We're the one that said, no doubt this man was a true disciple of the Lord as we read through here. Now, he wasn't part of the 12. You have to be careful about this. You know, get these cliques and things. And he wasn't part of the 12. There was 12 disciples. The Lord called out. He sent first the apostles in the church. They were used. And he used them for a purpose. But, you know, here we got a little bit going on. Look over with me to Philippians chapter 1. Look over Philippians chapter 1. And verse number 15. Philippians chapter 1, verse 15. We'll read down to verse 18. Philippians 1, chapter 1, verse 15. Some indeed preach Christ, even of envy and strife. Some also of goodwill. The one preach Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel. Verse 18, what then? Notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. I'll tell you, sometimes there's going to be those that speak the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're not going to mean it one way or one hope. It's just out of spite. This is what happens right here. This is what Paul said. You know, and sometimes I'm a little troubled by folks who get a little high on their horses about the, you know, Christmas and Easter group that comes by. Well, how long time we're going to see them? Matter of fact, one preacher said this. On Easter, when people are leaving, he stands at the door, and those that only comes on Easter and Christmas time, he says to them as they leave, Merry Christmas, because that's the next time he's going to see them. At least they come Easter.
Amen.
Maybe just that one sermon on Easter. Hearts prepared in the choir. Prayed up. Singing the songs of glory in Zion. And preps their heart. And the preaching of the Word of God might convict them. And they may become a little bit more faithful. They come, who knows, on homecoming. Paul says, there's going to be times. There's going to be times that even old Hollywood might throw out the name of Jesus. I'm not saying support Hollywood. Hollywood, I mean, it is some bad stuff come up out of there. There might be times there's churches around that might have, a particular group that you don't care about, that you don't like. That comes by, but Jesus is mentioned and preached. Paul, listen, I didn't, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit of God, this is what Paul wrote. Verse 19, 18, what then, notwithstanding, every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. We're going to be happy when Jesus is lifted up. I'm the Lord to be excited at any time, at any moment, the name of Jesus is mentioned. Whether they mean it or not. Kind of difficult thing whether to know sometimes if people mean something, right? This is what's going on over here in Mark. Now, you remember a couple of Wednesdays back, what happened? There was one in the group brought his son to the disciples and asked them if they would do what? Cast out a devil. And they could not do what? They couldn't do it. Now, after the Lord rebukes them, "Oh, ye generation, ye faithful generation, how long will I be with you?" They're going down the road, and all of a sudden, over here off to the side, or maybe under a tree, there's, "What's that guy doing over there?" And he's casting out devils. Well, let's go back to Mark so you understand this is what's going on, because the Lord never once rebukes them and says, "No, he's not." Verse 38, John answered, saying, "Master, we saw one casting out devils," plural, "casting out devils, and how's he doing? In thy name." Not only, Lord, is he casting them out, he's using your name to do it. No doubt, in my mind, this was a little bit more about envy than right doctrine.
Amen.
How dare him? We've been called out by the Lord. We're part of the inner circle. Yeah, but old John, you was trying to scorch them to crispy critters, not to, you know. Sometimes the inner circle can be pretty cruel and mean, can't we? We get a little bit up on our high horse. I'm part of the group. I'm part of the ones that's on the in, and you're on the out. Go with me to Numbers. This ain't the first time this happened. Go with me to Numbers chapter 11. Numbers way back in the Old Testament, Numbers chapter 11. I told you it's going to be a little bit difficult, so this is a tough portion of Scripture for some of us. I'm going to be honest with you. Now, some of you already got in your mind, Pastor's talking about compromise right now. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. Just because they don't wear the same suit you wear don't mean they're not on the Lord's side.
Amen.
I've been guilty. I've looked at folks. Just because the church puts up a screen up there and uses a little screen in the auditorium don't mean they ain't doing the work of God. Oh, Brother James. Lord, help. Numbers chapter 11. Yes, sir. I'm telling you, been guilty. This passage of Scripture here is really, 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 really hit home by the Holy Spirit of God in my life, not today, but in the past. Well, they go to my school, so they can't be a God. Well, I'm so glad that so many of us got a corner and a monopoly on God. Numbers chapter 11, verse 26. Listen what the Bible says here. Verse 26. "But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of the one was Eldad, the name of the other was Medad, and the Spirit rested upon them. And they were of them that were written, but went not out unto the tabernacle." Wait a minute, they ain't at the tabernacle. They stayed in the camp. What'd they do? "And they prophesied in the camp." What happened? The Spirit of the Lord rested upon them. Verse 27, "There ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp. And Joshua, the son of Nun, the servant of Moses, one of his young men, answered and said, My Lord, Moses, forbid them. Moses said unto him, Enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. And Moses got him into the camp, he and the elders of Israel." Even the man Moses wanted to go hear what these prophets, these preachers were saying in the camp. They had done went out to the tabernacle. Two preachers, where the Spirit of God rested upon, was preaching the Word of God in the camp while everybody else was out here at the tabernacle. Here come the tattletale. Moses, Moses. They're preaching in there. We should be at the tabernacle. Moses. Joshua, great man, general. With indignation said, Moses, forbid them. And Moses said, it's for envy. This over in Mark, it's about envy. It's about somebody else having God use them. Isn't it amazing sometimes we get to thinking that if we don't show up to church and we don't show up at the meeting, if we're not at church, they ain't having church without me. Man, are you serious? It ain't about you. It ain't about me. It's about the Lord.
Amen.
If the Lord don't build the house, we labor in vain.
Amen.
Lord, we saw and we forbade them. They can't be doing that. We can't, no way they shouldn't be doing this. Now listen, nowhere in the passage, back over in Mark now, we're back in Mark, nowhere in the passage did the Lord Jesus deny that this man was casting out devils. I believe it was happening. Nowhere. Nowhere did he deny that it was even being done in his name. Well, why? Because he's God. He knows all. He knows all. It's amazing. Listen, he didn't charge this man one time for false doctrine. Not one time. Go with me to Romans chapter 14, verse 4. Brother Bill, you doing okay tonight?
Yes, sir.
Okay. I just make sure y'all alive and awake because y'all look purplish out there tonight.
Doing fine, sir.
If you love the Lord like I do, you'll do as I do. You'll be in our group. Sound like the Cookie Monster. Or Oscar the Grouch in the garbage can. Romans chapter 14, verse 4. What art thou that judgest another man's servant? To his own master he standeth or falleth. Yea, he shall be holden up, for God is able to make him stand.
Amen.
There you go, preacher. You tell it compromise. Now you're going to tell us that we shouldn't judge. I'm just telling you, you better be careful how you judge, because how you judge, you're going to be meet with the same measure.
Amen.
I'm just saying that we as the church have to keep our eyes upon Jesus, because if we don't keep our eyes on Jesus, start looking at what this church is doing, that church is doing, this group is doing, this church. You know what we're too busy doing? We're too busy looking out here around the way, and Jesus is here, and we're not focused, and before long we fall off in the ditch ourselves. Not one time in the passage of Mark did the Lord, when John showed up and forbid him, not one time did Jesus say, no, he ain't casting out devils. It's a fake show. It's fake. He's not really doing it. Oh, he's not using my name. No. Not one time.
Right.
Not one time did he say, this is a heretic, this is a false prophet, this is something. Not one time did the Lord rebuke this man that was doing the work of the Lord, but not in their group. Actually, if you go back over to Mark, verse 39, Jesus defends this man. But Jesus said, forbid him not. Forbid him not. For there is no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me.
Amen.
Now listen. This passage should not and should not, and I'll say it again, and should not, let me one more time, and should not, maybe just one more time, because I know some of you have got crooked out in your mind, should not be used to teach toleration against apostasy.
Amen.
That's not what's going on here. Because Jesus didn't never once say this guy's apostate. He never once said he was a heretic. Never once did he say, he said, forbid him not. But there's plenty of scripture that teaches that we should stand against apostasy. Yeah. Show me one, Pastor. Okay, Romans 6, 17. Let's go. Let's take a little road trip through the Bible. Because this doesn't teach that we should stand against, let apostasy stand. Let heresy stand. In context, this guy's doing something. He's doing the work of the Lord in the name of the Lord. Romans 16, 17. Romans 16, 17. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them that which cause division, offenses, contrary to the doctrine which ye have learned, and do what? Avoid them.
Amen.
That's what the Bible says about heresy. Some of these folks, y'all run around justifying watching on TV these preachers and things, and this evangelists, and listen to some of these folks. They're teaching heresy, and you're justifying it because it feels good to the ear. Amen. The Bible says avoid. So nowhere over in Mark are we talking about justifying or compromising against heresy. The Bible says, mark them. Let's read it again there. Now I beseech you, brethren, mark them which cause divisions and offenses contrary to the doctrine which you have learned, and avoid them. Titus chapter 1. Titus chapter number 1. Verse 13. Titus chapter 1, verse number 13. This witness is true. Wherefore, rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in faith, not giving heed to Jewish fables and commandments of men that turn from the truth. Bible says, avoid them, mark them, rebuke them sharply. That's what the scripture says. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 14. Second Thessalonians 3, verse number 14. And if any man obey not our word by this epistle, note that man, and have no company with him, that he may be ashamed. Wow. Bible's pretty straightforward there, isn't it? Well, there's more. Titus 3:10 says a man that is a heretic after the first and second admonition reject. 2 Corinthians 6:17 says, wherefore come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing. And God says, and I will receive you. Mark 9:38-41 is not teaching that we should be tolerant of those that are heretics and teach heresy and are apostate from Scripture.
Amen.
Well, how do you know it? Because the Bible never, ever, ever contradicts itself. And I just gave you five examples where the Scripture says, mark them, avoid them, sharply rebuke them. Those that are in heresy and apostate, and teaching false doctrine. There's others. The Bible says, don't even bid on God's speed over in 1 John chapter, 2 John. 2 John. They come to your door and talk to you. They got heresy and they're speaking here. Don't even bid them Godspeed. Don't even say, have a good day. It's pretty tough. So this scripture is not teaching we should be tolerant of those in apostasy. Nor is it teaching that we should be tolerant of immorality. Because this is another one. Well, preacher, you know, it's okay if they're living in sexual sin and immoral, and they're wicked, they're thieves, they're crooks. Well, at least they're speaking Jesus. No. Ephesians 5. Let's go to Ephesians 5. Galatians, Ephesians 5. Verse 11. Ephesians chapter 5, verse 11, the Bible says, have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Immorality is the fruits of darkness. Okay, go over to 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3. Verse 6. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse 6. Now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye withdraw yourselves from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after traditions which he received of us. This is not my say, folks, here now. You know that you've passed from death into life because you love the brethren. Every brother. So it says, now we command you, brethren, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you withdraw yourself from every brother that walketh disorderly and not after the traditions which he that received of us. This is not given permission over in Mark chapter 9 that we should just discount heresy, that we should discount immorality. Go to 2 Timothy chapter 3. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 5. All that justification that we're going to run around with those that do the fruitful works of darkness, those Christians who choose to live, in a way that dishonors God. We're going to get them over on our side. That's what Scripture don't teach that. Okay, 2 Timothy 3 and 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. Listen to what the Bible says. From such, turn away. So this passage of Scripture is not teaching us that we should be tolerant of heresy. It's just not teaching that we should be, tolerant of immorality. The Bible says, be holy, for I'm holy. So you can't use this passage of Scripture just any old way you want. There's a context. But what this passage is teaching us is that that God is against jealousy and narrow-minded views that you got the only way and your way is right. He said, I am the way, the truth, and life. No man comes to the Father but by me.
Amen.
Now, over in 1 Corinthians, the Bible says there, go to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. Just for an example here, 1 Corinthians chapter 1. First Corinthians chapter 1. I think it's verse 3. I just want to read a passage of Scripture here. Actually, verse 2. First Corinthians chapter number 1 and verse 2. Unto the church of God, which is at Corinth, to them that are sanctified in Christ Jesus, called to be saints, with all in every place, call upon the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, both theirs and ours. The church of Corinth was an actual local church in the city of Corinth. And God says here, unto the church of God. Now, I challenge you, not now, because I'm not going through this, but I challenge you to go through the book of 1 Corinthians and go through and find how many things were contrary to Scripture in the book of 1 Corinthians. At the church of Corinth, a local body, just like what we have here. The pastor, they had a place they will meet. It may not have been in a building, it may have been under a tree, it may have been down by the river, it may have been in a house, it may have been at the porch. I don't know where exactly they met, but there was a place that they met, and through the studies of 1 Corinthians, you'll find a church that had a lot of problems. But God says, unto the church of God. You think God didn't know in chapter 1, verse 2, that there was problems at the church of Corinth? Yet it was His church. Not every church, dear friend, is doing everything right by Scripture. Not every church. I'm a Baptist through and through, dear friend. I believe in all my heart that our Baptist faith is closest to doctrine in what we find in New Testament churches. But I ain't going to stand here 1 minute and tell you that the only Baptists are going to heaven.
Amen.
I'm not going to stand here 1 minute and tell you the only Baptists are seeing folks saved. I'm not. Because then it would be just like John. Lord, shut the doors of that church down there. Now, are they correct and right with God? Obviously not. Obviously, there's things that are just too contrary to Scripture. I'm not going to go and join myself with them. I'm not going to go and be part of that. I'm just not. I'm going to be honest with you. I ain't going to be part of a Baptist church just by name, just simply because they say they're Baptist. Because a lot of Baptists ain't hold to the doctrines of the Word of God anymore. Amen. Well, preacher, how do you know? Because they got women pastors. Right. Oh, Lord. Ooh. Preacher, don't you realize this 2017? I do, and I realize qualifications of a pastor is written in the Word of God.
Amen.
It's been settled in heaven forever.
Amen.
I'm not going to join myself to a church where the pastor is immoral. I'm just not. I don't care what you could put Baptists up there 25,000 feet wide and tall. There's more to it than just a name.
Amen.
It's the doctrines of the Word of God. I am amazed at the amount of people who are ignorant and they point fingers down the road and say this or that. Well, listen, if God can handle the church of Corinth, which had all kind of problems, I mean big time problems, He can handle if they'll submit and yield. But you point fingers, studying them and how they're working and what they're doing and pointing out they're wrong. You're not helping yourself. You're not helping your community. You're not pushing forth this and striving for the cause of Christ right here at Lock Haven.
Amen.
You're too busy studying out instead of striving together. And if you think that you are perfect in your faith, you need to get alone in a closet with God.
Amen.
Because none of us stand perfect and have achieved and apprehended. None of us. And Jesus forbid them. So it's not teaching that we should be tolerant of apostasy. I'm not tolerant of apostasy. I'm not tolerant of immorality. But I do have a good understanding that not everybody that walks with the same kind of glasses I walk with are against me. I mean, I'm amazed. Go back to Mark chapter 9. Mark chapter 9. Jesus said there in verse 39, but Jesus said, forbid him not. There's no man which shall do a miracle in my name that can lightly speak evil of me. Verse 40, for he that is not against us is on our part. There's a great lesson in verse number 40. There can be no neutrality when it comes to our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You're either for him or you're against him. If you love him, you're obedient to him. You follow the scriptures. You're obedient to his commandments. He looks, he said, for if there is, if it's not against us, he's on our part. We've got to strive, we've got to press, we've got to go on. We've got to stay with it. What part? Part of getting the name of Jesus to the entire world.
Amen.
Part. We as a church are going to do our dead level best to stay faithful to that book, to the Word of God. But we're not going to spend a moment of our time running down the church down the street. Because if we do, we've got our mind off the purpose of what we're here for. And that is to preach the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, not to correct a church down the road. And then there's a profound statement here that really has me a little puzzled in verse 41. It's a great statement on lessons on rewards. It says, for whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Man, just a cup of water. I think we better be careful, dear friend, as we're going about in our daily life and our time around folks, that we need to show a little bit more hospitality to others. A cup of water. I ain't going to say how you do to them because they're not in our group. That is really sad. For whosoever shall give you a cup of water to drink in my name, because ye belong to Christ, verily I say unto you, he shall not lose his reward. Well, next time you're looking around, not everybody is locked in on your level of spirituality. Maybe you ought to look back at Mark chapter 9.
Amen.
Say, wow. Because just a few verses prior, the same John couldn't cast out devils.
Right.
And here this guy is who's not in the circle, casting out devils. I guess it's who you're for that really makes the difference.
Amen.
So I believe this young guy, or old guy, this whoever he was, Jesus don't even name him. John, ain't that sad? John don't even know his name. He just told him, you stop doing that. Didn't even introduce himself. Didn't offer him a cup of water, who was doing the work of the Lord in his name. And Jesus mixes in rewards there. That's profound. Maybe she just stop a moment and say, man, it's not about who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom. Remember the last Wednesday? No, not last Wednesday, Brother Jim. You did last Wednesday. 2 Wednesdays ago, there's word about who's the greatest. You see where envy leads you? Do you start rebuking others? That's where envy leads. Father, we love you. Lord, it's a tough passage.